2 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to speak to you concerning your being a member, or are you a member, of the espoused bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse number 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with me. Then Revelation 19, beginning with verse number 7. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. This was to the church at Corinth, the local church at Corinth, a church with a lineage back to the church that Jesus built. It was one of the Lord's New Testament churches, and he considered that she would be the espoused bride of Christ. She was to be presented to him at this marriage that we read about in Revelation 19. There are Baptists who deny that there is a bride. I don't know what Bible they're using. I don't know where they've come from, but the bride of Christ is all through the New Testament. And so it's plain and clear. The question is, are you a part? Are you going to be a part of that bride? Where are you going to be in that wedding? Are you going to be a guest, or are you going to be a part of, be the bride? Now notice the situation where it talks about the marriage. He sets forth the fact that those that are guests are blessed. Well, you've got Jesus, the groom. You've got the faithful of New Testament churches as the bride. And then you have the guests. So how can there not be a bride of Christ? The bride of Christ is developing now. He is developing his New Testament churches throughout the land and country. And the faithful out of those churches will make up the bride of Christ, will be chosen. Matthew 16, 18. It says, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he's building the bride up church by church. The bride of Christ is described in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That he might present it to himself. What? The bride. Well, who is the bride? A glorious church. The church, right here. it gives us, describes who the bride is. So, the bride of Christ is warned in 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. I would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present to you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So the bride is warned against falling to the temptations that Satan would put before them to draw them away from setting that standard by the word of God that is required to be qualified to be a part of the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is defined in Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse number 17. Matthew, the fourth chapter, and beginning with verse number 17, the Bible says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Then, in John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 25, third chapter of the book of John, and verse number 25, the Bible says, "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, 'Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him.' John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.'" Not from the earth, not from where man is, not from man, but from heaven. That's where God is. "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ.'" Then, verse 29, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." John had his disciples. Jesus had his disciples. John's disciples were not a part of the spouse bride, but Jesus' disciples were recognized here as the bride. "Now he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." So, the requirements for being a part of the bride. First of all, it requires salvation. Acts chapter 2, verse number 47. Acts, the second chapter. And verse 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." We've already confirmed by Scripture that the church is the bride of Christ. And in order to be a part of that church, which is the bride of Christ, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. You have to believe with all of your heart that Jesus came into this world, that he suffered, bled, and died because of your sins, and was buried and rose again for your justification. It requires then scriptural baptism, baptism at the hands of a New Testament church. Acts 2 and 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were added unto them. Who's them? The church. They were added to the church after they were saved, baptized by heaven's authority. You can't do anything without it coming from heaven. Where'd we get this? 66 books from heaven. We got it directly from God through the prophets, through those that he used to write and record the scripture. They gladly received his word, were baptized. Those that were saved were baptized. The same day, they were added to the church. All right. So scriptural baptism, church membership is necessary to be in the bride. Ephesians 5 and verse number 27. That he might present it to himself. What? The bride. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He might present it to himself. The church. That they may be without spot and without blemish. Church membership necessary to being a part of the bride of Christ. It requires separation. Revelation 3 and verse number 4. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse number 12, Revelation 3. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Then verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So, it requires a separation. Individuals need to separate from the world and the ways of the world. Individuals need to separate from religion, the false religions of the world. We need to be separate, come out from among them and be separate, he said, and I'll be your God, you'll be my people. I believe that's 2 Corinthians 6. And so, it requires separation. It requires steadfastness. Matthew 10, verses 37 and 38. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 37 and 38 says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, why should it be that way? That's asking a lot. Because he created you and me in our mother's womb. We are his creation. Now, that goes against that ego of ours that we're always working toward building up. It goes against that old nature of ours that we feed so often and not that new nature. But he has a right. He has a right to be loved, because not only did he create us in our womb, in his mother, our mother's womb, but he also came into this world, fulfilled the law, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for our justification. And by the way, from the time he was born, he suffered at the hands of man in this corrupt world that we're in. He was rich, yet he became poor for our sakes. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Luke 9, verse 62. Luke chapter 9, and verse number 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, he said that, and it's true. It requires steadfastness. When we commit, we need to maintain and continue that commitment. How long? Until we die. Revelation 2, verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Take away the espousal for the bride, or to be the bride. Except you repent. He'll take the Holy Spirit out of that body, and a body without the Spirit is dead. Except you repent, he said. Why should he call individuals to repent? Because they are sinners. Why should he call churches to repent? And here he's calling a church to repent. Because it's made up of sinners. Saved sinners, but sinners nonetheless. And the idea that man can live above sin is foolishness. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 16. Revelation 3 and 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. What? It takes steadfastness. When you turn and go his way, you need to not let anything hinder you in any way from continuing in that way. And we're talking about that straight and narrow way. It leads to heaven. And it's man's choice as to which way he takes. He can take also the broad way. 20th verse of Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now that's not the door of your heart or the door of an individual's heart. That's the door of the church. The church had gone so far as to put Jesus outside, forsaking his word and adopting the worldly religious order instead of the word of God. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Yeah. You think about it. What a privilege that will be to sit in the throne of God. How sad there will be multitudes that are outside that city with a wall separating them from that throne. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Requires something to be in the bride of Christ. It also proves something to be in the bride of Christ. It proves that spiritual things were valued above secular things. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. Matthew 6 and 33. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the... And by the way, first means first. It doesn't mean when it's convenient. It doesn't mean when we want to or decide to. It means he's first and foremost in all things. And by the way, he's first above spouse. He's first above children. Remember what he said it took to be a disciple? It proves that the Savior was esteemed above self. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He gets the glory. We don't. He gets the honor. We don't. It proves that the Savior was esteemed above itself, striving to be a part of that bride. It proves that eternity was preferred before time. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay not up treasures here on the earth, but lay them up in heaven. It means something to be in the bride of Christ. It means being in his holy city during the ages to come. Revelation 21, beginning with verse number 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Then verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And he carried me away in the spirit in a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Look at the value of gold today. Being a part of the bride means we will live in that city. Did you know in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, but I go to prepare a place for you. He's there preparing that place right now. I hope that it's pretty much prepared. But that place he was preparing was this holy city. Think about it. Being a part of the bride will dwell within that city that is made of pure gold, and it's as clear as glass. The beauty of it. It'll shine forth in eternity. And we'll shine with him if we're a part of the bride. It means enjoying the favored place by the side of Jesus. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. We'll sit on the throne of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? What is the standard of judgment, and what will be the standard for choosing the faithful out of New Testament churches to be in the bride? That standard is the Word of God. And it behooves us to abide by that Word. It behooves us to study and prepare that we might have an opportunity to share in that glory that's going to be in that city for all of eternity. The saints who are mentioned in verse 2 were members of a local church, the local church at Corinth. It means having a lavish attention from the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we are to love above all and all things. Are you part of the bride? How can I know? How are you doing with this? How are you doing with carrying out this? Lost friend, if you're here tonight, it'll do you no good to carry this out. Because salvation is not by works. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The works that Jesus did made it so that man doesn't have to do any work in order to be saved. Jesus did everything necessary to save all of humanity that ever existed, exists, or ever will. He did everything necessary. He came into this world. He suffered. He bled. He died. He was buried. He rose again. That death, burial, and resurrection of Christ according to the scripture, that is the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation. And when you get to the place to where you'll wholly from your, totally from your heart, put your faith and trust in what Jesus did, he'll save your soul. When you quit trying to straighten your life up, when you quit trying to appease God or please God, if you quit trying, he'll save you. That is, if you're trusting him. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God convicts your heart. Come to Jesus. What shall we sing, brother?
Hymn 105.
As we sing this hymn, why don't you come? Amen. Brother Trent, would you?